And welcome back to Who Wants to Adult Anyway. How are you, Cole?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're sitting very close to each other.
I know. I literally feel like I'm sitting on your lap.
Basically, we're sitting very close to each other because we have a very special guest today. I feel like we should explain this. We get lots of questions about like different adulting dilemmas. And one of the big ones is about around dating and
relationships.
And as much as we can give you some advice,
we are professionals in the dating world.
Yes.
So we thought we'd give you a professional who is in the dating world.
I actually think as well, if you were to ask anybody, I think you are probably the most famous love guru there is. Like, you are the number. I couldn't think of anyone else that I would ask. So welcome, Nadia Essex, everyone.
When we wanted to do this episode, we were like, we need a relationship guru. And I was like, Nadia.
Yeah.
Like, that's who came to our mind.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like, you're definitely up there with like the famous love guru. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
And I feel like we want to say as well, Nadia has a baby boy, he's a year and a half, and she couldn't get a babysitter today. So we just said, if you can hear some noises in the background, we just said this whole podcast is about adulting and adulting dilemmas, and not being able to get a babysitter is very on brand. It's very up there of, you know,
being an adult.
Yeah, being an adult. So here we are. So we love having him here.
Yeah,
he's
so
cute.
Ezekiel is our guest's guest.
He's come to help you out.
Oh yeah, I don't know about helping. I'm causing stress at the moment because I'm just like, just sit nicely. When you're in public, when you're at home, it doesn't matter. You're like, bash around, it's fine. But when you're in public, you're like, please be good.
No, I think he's well behaved. He's like
he's
quite
inquisitive.
Calm.
Yeah, he's like really interested in what we're doing.
Yeah, he's not like naughty or like
don't
crazily
jinx it.
Running. We'll get there.
Give it time.
So we have
No touching.
Lots of questions.
We basically have questions which we think everyone will want to know when it comes to relationships and dating. So we'll just ask you and then you kind of just give us your professional advice.
Fab.
How do you know if they are the one?
I think it's a real sort of gut feeling. I think, especially as women, it's so easy to like hear your heart and interpret that as your gut, but know deep down that it's not. And so when you're really into someone, it's easy to convince yourself that, oh no, actually, you know, like I love them and they're the one, but actually there's a little niggle in your gut. Like if your head and your heart and your gut are telling you, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
But if there's any niggles, then they're not the one for you.
Yeah, I always think it's obviously really cheesy because obviously I think George is the one for me, but I always think before George, with like previous boyfriends and people I was dating before, people would always ask me, they'd always say, oh, are they the one? And I used to think, I don't know. How do you know? I'm not sure if they are. And then as soon as I met George, I was like, yes, absolutely, he's the one. So I feel like if you're questioning it, it means he's probably not.
Yeah.
Because I think
if you're not sure they are the one, it's usually because you have some reservations about some part of their personality.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I know, I'm so right. And then that in itself is a good indication that actually there might be some red flags or, you know, it's not quite right. But you got to get, you can only, no one can tell you. I'm sure in your previous relationships, people were like, they're not the one for you. And you'd be like, no, I love them. You got to learn that lesson the hard way.
And then it turns out they really weren't the one.
Yeah. But I always almost find, this is probably the stubbornness in me, but I always used to find it annoying if people, lots of my friends, like with my previous boyfriend. So all my friends would tell me that they weren't the one for me and I didn't love him. And if anything, it made me like more annoyed because I used to think, no, you're not going to tell me what I do. And it almost like made me want to stay with them more to like prove this weird point, even though that is honestly, it's so petty.
You get more determined.
I hate when people tell me like what is right and what is wrong. I mean, they all ended up being right anyway. And I think I knew deep down, but I started like fighting this like battle of like, no.
Yeah, I feel like you get really defensive.
And it's also that fear of being alone. I feel like that's a big thing with people like that are in, unhappy relationships, or not necessarily, I hear quite a lot from people, they're not necessarily in an unhappy relationship, they're just not happy.
Yeah.
Do you know, they could be happier, and they're kind of like in this long-term relationship, and they're just in it, and they're comfortable, and you know, and it's fine, there's nothing wrong with it, but they're wondering if there is more out there. And I always feel like if you feel like that at all, then you should probably get out of the relationship.
Definitely, because that, you know, answers the question. You know they're not the one if you're half in, half out. Yeah, if you feel like you're missing out on a part of life, and like you said, you're just not happy, and it's not necessarily maybe anything that person has done, it's just that you're not as happy as you think you could be, then take the plunge, go it alone. Most people that I know are single, love being single.
Yeah.
And so if you were scared about being single, then you speak to them and they're like, no, it's great.
Yeah. And usually it like takes a while, doesn't it, to get used to being single. Like at first you might hate it because it's getting used to it, but then you find like a place where you're like, actually, I'm loving this. And then usually that's when somebody comes along and you're like, oh no, actually, I don't want somebody to like ruin this Sod's whole thing I've got going on.
That is literally what happened to me, because I broke up with someone about 3 years ago and I was like devastated. I was like, I don't want to be on my own. Like, I can't do it. And then 3 months later, I met Callum and I was like, and then at that time I was like so happy to be on my own. I was like, oh, I've literally met the person who I think I'm going to end up with.
Yeah. It's because the vibe, like, ready to be... you're given off changes.
Yeah.
And that's it. You've gone from, like, desperate, needy, codependent... Yeah. No offence.
Yeah. No, I definitely was.
She definitely was. I can vouch for that.
You've gone from that to comfortable in your own skin, really happy, and being able to spot, when you meet a guy, knowing that you like him for him, not because you're codependent and you're like... Yeah. Get rid of all the red flags because you want him to be the one.
Yeah.
And that vibe to a guy is so sexy.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing sexier than walking into a room and you can spot a woman who is comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah,
who just
I agree.
Who's not there for show. She just wants to have a good time and she's vibing.
Yeah.
That is so attractive to men.
Yeah.
So the happier you are within yourself, the better quality partner you'll find.
Joe, what is so funny you say that, because I remember when I used to go out and when I was single and I used to be like really like, oh, like, and I'd give off those vibes and no one would ever approach me. I'd be like, why does no one fancy me? No one ever approaches me. And then as soon as like, I got confident and I was like, that's when Callum, like, that was the first night out and Callum like came straight up to me and was like interested in me. I was like, oh, because I gave off those vibes. So I was like, I was confident. I'm like ready.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to think about it. Like, if you can't say that you want like a 10 out of 10 guy, but then be a 5 out of 10 girl in terms of like not sort out your baggage, not sort out your brain. Like, when you're single, it is the perfect time to really work on yourself, make sure that you're happy within yourself, happy within your life, your career. Like, because as the happier you get, the better quality man you'll get. And and you want a good quality man, because there's too many women with losers.
Yeah. It's true. And you know, and when you're in that place as well, you don't put too much pressure on meeting somebody. So you're like, you're just going out to have a nice time. You're like, you know, you're going about your day-to-day life just like normally and happy. And that is when someone will come along, because
Definitely. You're
so like, I think like, it goes for like boys as well. I think confidence is such a good thing. I mean, there is a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And sometimes in Essex, the boys can be a little arrogant. But that there's confidence, and I think that, and that's not necessarily being like the loudest person in the room, you know, just being like confident in themselves, like, and just if you
which comes a lot of times with maturity.
Yeah,
like I think arrogant men are really immature. They're trying to use the arrogance to mask something else, usually a deeply underlying insecurity of some sort. So, well, if I walk into a room, the loudest person in the room is usually the one person that I'm like, they're the most insecure.
Yeah,
they
it's
have
so
the
true.
Most issues.
Yeah.
Because if you're comfortable in your skin, you don't need to walk in and be make this big show and just be that centre of attention. You can just, it doesn't even enter your brain, because you can just be fine. And like you were saying about the vibe that you give off, you can't fake it as well. I know lots of women that are like, you know, like the Bridget Jones type, when they're out, they're like, I don't care about men. No, I'm so comfortable with my own skin. Yeah. And then go home and like,
oh, I've been there. I've been there.
It's like, you can't fake it. You just, you have to work on yourself. Be happy. Find hobbies. Keep busy. Because again, if you have an interesting life, when you go on a first date with somebody and you've got stuff to talk about, how many guys would be like, wow, this girl's special?
Yeah.
Because how many girls are like, so what do you like to do? What box sets are you watching?
That's me.
Yeah.
I'm like the boring, like, I don't really do, not really do much.
So this kind of conversation is sort of like nicely led on to, which I think is one of the big ones, which everybody is asking, especially after the pandemic, how do you meet people?
I just feel sorry for single people because I think it was really difficult to meet people pre-pandemic. I think the single people I knew just found it quite difficult because life was life, and then COVID hit, and now it just seems like it's 10 times harder because, one, I think people are kind of, well, what's scared? Like, you know, where do you go? Who do you, are we allowed to hug? Like, even today, it's like, do you hug? Do you stay away? Do I have to wear a mask? Like, I don't know the rules. I don't know what the etiquette is anymore. And so that, you've got that layer on top of how difficult it normally is. Plus, either no one's going out because actually home life can be quite nice, especially as it's getting colder, or when people do go out, because they've been locked up for nearly 2 years, they're just out getting smashed, and that's not really an appropriate time to meet someone either. So it's really difficult, and I'm not a fan of the online apps personally. I've been permanently banned from Tinder and Hinge.
Shut up.
Why?
They don't tell you why. I just literally was
what
on
have
them.
You done?
I know, literally. I just got an email from both of them at separate times just being like, your account's been permanently suspended. And
weird.
I was like,
oh my god.
Literally, I was like, what? How can you get banned from Tinder?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Was I swiping right too much or swiping left?
I mean, literally, I have no idea. And those were like the two, obviously, like the two big ones. So when it came to the sort of pandemic, I thought, you know what, let me try again. So I think I joined, is it Bumble?
Yeah.
I joined Bumble. Now, I hate the premise of Bumble. Like, I
what's
hate
that one? Isn't that when you have to message first?
The girl has
first. See. I just can't do that.
I just imagine a load of lazy men sitting around, like, scratching their heads and just waiting for girls to message them so they can be like, yeah, great. Like, it's just not my vibe.
And I know some people don't agree with this, but I'm like quite old fashioned in the sense that I like the man to approach me.
Absolutely.
Like, I like that way around. I feel like I'll always have like a complex that I approach them first. You know, like it would always bother me.
Yeah, well, also,
I know it's so silly.
Me, I went on there. I was on there for like a month. I said hello to loads of different guys. Not one guy asked to meet up.
Really?
And I'm like, I do not have time to waste.
I don't want to be your pen pal,
Like, ask. I've said hello, so you know I'm interested.
Yeah.
Now ask me on a bloody date.
Yeah.
Whether it's even a, like, I'm not a big coffee fan. I like coffee, but I hate coffee dates. I think they're cheap, tacky.
Yeah, me too.
Horrendous.
I feel like that's like a pre-date, you know, like you do that just to suss somebody out first.
And I think you can, for me, I can suss them out with a few back and forth messages. I don't need the coffee. Like,
and then you kind of think, like, why? What are you entertaining for? What are you entertaining? What is it, just a text?
Literally.
A pen pal.
Yeah. And when you've got, like, you're trying to keep, and it's like a struggle because you're asking an open question and you get a closed answer. And it's like, you know, have you got a busy week this week? Or what's your plans for the week? And it's like, yeah, really busy, going to be crazy, full stop.
Ask about me then? That would be it for me. I always remember years ago, before I was with George, I was texting this boy, and he honestly used to take, like, his replies would be really, like, full of questions. They'd be really quite long, but he used to honestly take, like, 3 to 5 hours to reply to a text. Yeah. And during the day, I used to think, oh, fair enough, he's at work, that's fine. But this would carry on, like, when, obviously, he got home from work, it would carry on over the weekends. And I used to think, I don't have time to be waiting around. Like,
huge.
I feel like if you're interested in someone, you would text back pretty sharpish. Like,
of course.
And I got bored very quickly.
If you've got someone dangling on a hook, all it takes is lack of effort, and that fish is gone.
Yeah. Because sometimes I used to be like, I used to get a message from someone, I used to like wait a couple of hours to reply to because I look cool. But now I'm like, if you take longer than half an hour to reply, I'm bored. I'm done.
Well, I think it like drains the conversation because you're sort of by the time they reply,
and it takes the excitement out of it.
You think, oh wait, what did I say in the first place for you to reply that? I can't even remember.
I'm a big fan of mirroring. So like, I will mirror their reply times and responses, not like to the hour, but if they take a little while to reply, I'll go and make a cup of tea and then I'll reply. If they take 3 to 5 hours, you're damn right I'm taking 3 to 5 hours, because I like to mirror someone, especially at the beginning, because in the beginning you want to set the boundaries for the relationship.
Yeah.
And if you let everything slide at the beginning, when you decide actually they can see my real psycho self and we can be ourselves around each other.
That's usually about the 6 month point.
Usually about the 6 month point. It's a lot harder to introduce those boundaries. So you start drip feeding the boundaries at the beginning, and one of those things is mirroring. Because then if they like having to wait 3 hours for a reply from you, well, trust me, they won't like it.
Yeah.
And so they're in there. It's like training a dog. No offense. I love men.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with men. I think they're amazing. I've got a boy. But they are such simple creatures.
They are very simple.
It's so simple. There's no mucking around with guys.
Yeah.
And I love them for that.
So we got quite a few dilemmas, didn't we? Well, we got one in particular, and it was about, she was saying, what do you do if a guy's ghosted me? Like, completely ghosted me. And I mean, what would your advice be to that? I feel like probably the only thing to do is nothing. Just leave it.
I think ghosting is a way of literally the universe removing somebody from your life quickly, simply, and the easiest way possible. Like, it hurts, because obviously it's rejection that hurts. But hallelujah, if I get ghosted, I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, like, because he's done you a favour.
Right? You don't have to have the sort of 3 month long longing it out, and then their text messages go from every day to then every other day, and then it's all get cold and it gets weird. Like, if someone ghosts you, get on your knees and thank the Lord, because you've done that. The universe has done you a favour.
Yeah. To be fair, you know when you said when they're like not replying back and stuff like that, that's happened to me before, and like it takes your confidence away.
Totally.
Like, it really draws your confidence away, and it's more torturous than them actually just ghosting you and getting rid of you, because that actually does you a favour.
I have no problem in ghosting at all, because two things. One, I don't reply, and not many women don't reply. Do you know how many of my friends and clients are like, I've written this text message,
like a follow-up message? This is what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, and it's always an opportunity telling them about themselves. Yeah, so I always think, write the text, then delete the text. Because once you've written it, you've got it off your chest.
Yeah.
If you send that text, you are only confirming in the guy's mind that you're not right for them.
Yeah.
Because you're having a go at them when really they don't want to have a go.
And
usually, when someone ghosts you, it is absolutely no reflection on you. Usually it's because maybe they've gotten back with their ex.
Yeah, I usually feel like there's always like a lingering ex going on.
There's a lingering ex, or they could have been dating someone at the same time as dating you, and that person, they want to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Like, it's never usually a reflection on you. They don't know you.
Yeah.
So for them to ghost you, knowing how fabulous you are, like, they're the ones that are missing out.
Yeah. But I always think, like, at least send a text being like, listen, like, you're a great girl or you're a great guy, but
like,
this
isn't
worse,
though.
I'm not feeling. No, I think I'd rather have like a nice ending to it than just them ignore you and then it makes you feel shit.
Maybe
I'd rather them just be like, hi, cool, like, you're a great girl, but this, I just don't see this going anywhere. Then you're like,
so
got my
easy.
Closure.
But isn't that easy?
It's
that
so
is so easy.
But
men make it.
They don't
so
do
difficult.
It. They
Wait,
don't do
I
it.
Have to be honest here. Back in the day when I was single and I'd be texting someone, if I wasn't interested, I'd end up just not texting back, and I wouldn't think too much in it. I'd just end up, because I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
I'd forget that they text me, and I wouldn't text back, and it would go on for days, and then that would be me effectively ghosting them, and I wouldn't give them a reason or a message.
I'd always be like, I'm really sorry. I'm just not my head's not in it at the moment. And that's what I'd say. I'd let them.
But it is a different.
You're a bitch. I know.
No, clearly. But I don't know. If I wasn't interested in texting someone and I couldn't feel it, I would just end up, and then they'd end up like, I'd have people, like boys doing it to me, like message me like a week later, like, oh, I guess you're not interested then. And I'd be like, oh shit, I completely forgot to even text you back.
But that's the other thing as well. How sassy is the text that you always get? And then on the end of that, you're always like, yeah, I am not going to message you. And it gets you riled up.
Yeah.
The best thing you could do is not reply, because I guarantee in 3 months, 6 months, a year, if you haven't replied and you haven't blocked them, you will get a cheeky text message.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, hun. Yeah. Yeah. How's you?
It's true.
Just testing the waters.
It's so true.
100%. Because when you don't reply, silence lets them be like, whoa.
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
she thinking? I don't know where she's at.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. Because not many people do that.
It's so mysterious,
many people,
yeah.
So many people will tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
You should have said something. You've wasted my time.
And they think, oh, God. Yeah. Like, oh, war off. Yeah, yeah, what a nag.
Whereas silence.
Yeah.
It leaves mystery.
Mystery.
Yeah.
Intrigue.
And they start to think as well. I feel like it starts to play with your mind, because you think, oh, were they not interested in me then? Even if you weren't interested in them, you start thinking, oh, so they weren't interested in me.
This reminds me of Vegas. So me and Chloe went to Vegas a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago, and my ex broke up with me when we was in Vegas. She was like, don't reply, don't reply, yeah, ignore it. And I was, but normally I'd be like, why? Like, so I completely ignored it.
And she hadn't done anything wrong. And yeah, he was being completely out of order. And it was her birthday as well. So she kept saying to me, but tomorrow's my birthday and I'm going to text him on my birthday. And I was like, absolutely not. You completely ignore him. You are in Vegas. You have the upper hand here. Like, his brain is going to be working overtime, not yours. Like, let that happen.
So I listened to Chloe for once and I didn't reply. And I get a text the next day.
It's so
a happy
true.
Birthday text, acting like nothing had happened.
Yeah. I've done it before. Do you remember? I'm not going to say his name. But a few years ago, I was like seeing this boy and he was like very, very keen, and he, I think I like sort of ended it with him once. It only went for a few months, but I ended it with him once, and he was like literally like begged me, like booked Paris, was like, we've got to be together. Wow. And then I sort of ended it again, and I was
still single.
You can have him. Courtney actually thought he was very handsome.
He was handsome.
but he was just very, very keen. It was just a lot. And then I ended it with him again. And I was...
Did you go to Paris?
No, I didn't. Ooh. But he took another girl, so... yeah. He took another... In the end, he took another girl, because it was, like, booked well in advance. And he... Yeah, he... The second time I, ended it... And I wasn't interested at all. I didn't want to be with him. But I ended it again, and I was just like, I'm really sorry, I'm not feeling it. And I expected him to, like, come chasing like he did the first time, and he didn't. And I was like... I mean, I don't want to be with you, but come on. And I ended up texting him like, hi. Yeah. Hey.
I'm telling you, if you want to get the power back, do not text back.
Yeah.
And it will go against every natural instinct in your soul. Literally, you will sit there. I mean, I've even had the conversations with myself. I wonder if I could pretend to text like, oh, yeah, see you next Tuesday at, like, 4 o'clock for the flower show. Oh, sorry, wrong person.
Yeah. I always think that's so obvious, though.
Now it is. Yeah. I mean, it is. And that's the thing. Your brain will convince you to try and think of any reason to text.
Yeah.
Back, put the phone down, back away from the phone.
Yeah.
And then if you're going out with your girls getting drunk, block, block.
Oh, that is the worst. That is the worst.
You are going to... whether it's on the way home, in the toilet, wherever you've got a spare minute, away from your girlfriends, especially if you've had a few drinks,
oh, that alcohol convinces you it's the right thing.
The,
it's absolutely.
The best thing ever. You wake up in the morning
and you're like,
have
shit.
The biggest beer fear.
Yeah.
Because you know that you shouldn't have done it.
Why do us girls do that? I feel like that doesn't happen to boys. Boys go out and get drunk and put their phones away.
To be fair, sometimes you do get a drunk text from a boy.
Yeah, but usually because it's like a booty call, not actually because with us girls, I feel like when we get drunk, we want to like tell them we love them.
Yeah.
And
I think boys feel exactly the same. I just think generationally, in terms of gender, they there's no way that when they go out, they don't think about us or the girl or whatever. It's just they're better at being able to put their phone away and block it out for that evening and be with their boys.
Boys are good at, like, switching off, I feel like.
They still have the same feelings. Like, trust me, when they go to the toilet, they will definitely be thinking, I wonder what she's doing. Like, they definitely have the same amount of emotion invested into it. They're just, because they're so easy at putting their phone away and locking off, it makes it's such a juxtaposition of women who are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And you just get those stereotypes of the women in the bathroom being like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And the men at the bar with the shots. And it's like, everyone feels the same.
Calling your ex five times.
Girls are just so much more emotional.
Yeah, basically. And boys are emotional too. It's just thanks to things like toxic masculinity. They're not supposed to show it.
Yeah.
And
it's not the forefront of their mind. Yeah. Whereas everything we do is like emotional. Every move we make, literally.
Yeah. From almost the day that we're born, it's like we're encouraged as well to like talk about our feelings and have girlfriends and confide. Whereas guys are sort of conditioned that that's not okay. And the tide is turning with that, thank God.
Yeah, no, it is, definitely.
Because I really think that there'll be way less male suicide, there'll be way 100%. Less like mental health problems if they can just be encouraged to open up and talk about their feelings.
Mm, yeah.
It would solve so much of the world's problems without, you know, Western world, certainly, without having such like a weight on their shoulders because they can't speak.
I agree. I feel like that's where most of men's mental health problems come from, is that they feel like they can't, and I don't even think they know that. Like, I don't even think it's like the forefront of their mind that they think, oh, I can't express. They're just conditioned to, so they don't.
Constantly bottled up their feelings.
And when you're around like the boys, no one starts the conversation. And so because no one starts the conversations never happen.
Yeah.
And so they, even if they've got something weighing on their mind, it takes a real good group of lads that will sit down and be like, you okay? Yeah. No, actually, are you okay? Let's talk about feelings.
Boys would like, if you were to talk about your feelings openly, they might like banter you and then you'll never live it down. And so they just think, oh, why am I going to do that? But yeah, I do think that definitely like men's eyes have been opened up a lot more to like, to this talk about their emotions. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, these awful things
and
happen.
And I think, again, it comes from us women encouraging men to be able to do that. Because if the boys are going to laugh and be banterous, us women can hold a hand out and be like, do you know what, good for you. Like, if I see a man talking about mental health online or being open about his mental health, I'm always like, well done, thank you, congratulations, because we have to support them, because sometimes the guys aren't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as women, we can kind of, we know how hard it is, so we can kind of cradle them a little bit and be like, it's okay, come to our side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come to the emotional side.
I can't say it's fun here, but we still talk about it.
Yeah. Never a dull moment.
Yeah. So another question, which I think is quite interesting, is how do you break up with someone?
Well, ghosting isn't ideal, obviously. I think it depends, really. I mean, it depends whether it's like a 1 month thing or a 10 year thing.
Yeah.
But I just think communication is always the best thing, and honesty is really good. Before you get to the stage where you break up with somebody, there are many other stages that you can go through to try. It should never be,
as in, to try and make the relationship work.
Yeah. Breakups that come out of the blue never come out of the blue. There's always been 6 months or however long build up where things haven't been right, there's been tension and it hasn't been addressed.
Because there's like this quote, isn't it? It's like the relationship ended 3 months before it actually ended.
Exactly. And I think if you get into a habit, especially again at the beginning when we talk about setting the boundaries for the rest of the relationship, if you get into a habit of talking about uncomfortable stuff, so how you're feeling, how things are in the bedroom, what needs are not being met, what needs are being met. Money is a good thing to talk about because it's a really uncomfortable subject. And once you start talking about things that are uncomfortable and get into a routine, it's so much easier then for somebody to come and say, do you know what, like I'm not happy at the moment. And usually it's because one person or another person isn't getting the attention or feeling the effort that they used to feel. And so if you can talk through that 3 months earlier and both make a pact that you're going to make more of an effort and really get into it, you will.
Yeah.
But if you want to let it slide, then you will. Like, relationships are such hard work, and they are work. You have to work for them, because the minute you rest on your laurels, the minute things start fizzling away.
Yeah.
So, you know, be spontaneous, be romantic, show, and even if you're not getting it, and one thing I say to my clients who are in a relationship, if you're at the end of the tether with your partner and you're just like, everything they do really bugs me.
The ick.
You got the ick. Every single night for a month, you have to write down 5 things that you like about your partner. It doesn't have to be, oh, I like the way they, you know, tell me they love me. It doesn't have to be big things. It can be teeny tiny things. I guarantee after a month of writing down how many things that you like about that person, the ick will go.
Do you think you can come back from the ick? Because I know a lot of people say once you've got the ick, there's no coming back from that.
Definitely. In the beginning, if you get the ick at the very beginning, if you're seeing someone for like a month and you get the ick, no.
Yeah, there's no point at that stage.
But if you've been in a relationship for a year or longer and you get the ick, absolutely there's coming back.
This is interesting. Yes. See, we always discuss that. Once you've got the ick, there is no going back.
Especially for a girl. So I feel like the next question is like a nice... it's basically the opposite of this one. So, you know, how do you break up with someone? What if you're on the other side of that? How do you get over someone? What happens if you are heartbroken and someone's broken up with you and you're trying to get over it?
One thing to remember is that, like, you're not going to die, even though it's going to feel that way. Like, you are literally going to feel like you're dying.
Oh, I felt like that before where your heart literally hurts.
When I'm going, this is the worst breakup you're going... I went for a breakup and I went to Chloe's like, no, this is the worst breakup. I went through the worst time.
She said, mine's so much worse than anybody else's. I can feel it so much more than anybody else. And I was like, no, everybody feels it the same. You're not the only one.
I'm like the most dramatic person when it comes to breakups. I was like, my heart is broken. I was like, you don't understand.
I feel like this is so much worse than anybody else's.
It feels that way because you do literally, like there is a pain.
Yeah, you can honestly feel like a pain in your chest. Like, it's so weird. Like, your heart is actually breaking. That feeling.
Awful. But you guys, we are all testament. It goes away.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. And it's so funny because I look back now and I think, why the hell? Yeah. Why did I behave like that? You just look back and you think, oh, so stupid. Like, why did I give so much time to that breakup? Like, I literally didn't go out for 2 weeks. I was, like, sobbing. I lost so much weight.
I was about to say, the only good thing to come out of it is the heartbreak diet.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have a bit of heartbreak diet in my life.
I say to Callum, I'm like, can you just break my heart so I can lose some weight and then we'll get back together? He's like, are you joking? Just go gym.
It's the bears. The heartbreak.
Yeah, it gets better, and if you're in the midst of it now, and people will be listening, I'm sure, like literally in the throes of heartbreak, just come out. You will come out the other side. Organise really fun things for you to do, like booking a holiday, reconnecting with your girlfriends, book brunches, book coffees, go to painting class, go join a choir, join groups, play tennis, whatever it may be, just to do stuff to get you out there.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing, if you go, say for example, you go to a painting class, like I can't paint, that's just a given. But if I go to a painting class and I paint something, it may be the worst in the room. Thank goodness art's subjective, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But when I walk out of that, I feel so proud of myself that I've taken an hour of my time to go and do something for me.
Also, it's like an hour distraction, isn't it?
Yeah. Great distraction. And do it by yourself. Do things by yourself. Go take yourself to the cinema. Take yourself out for lunch. Take yourself out for dinner. Date yourself, because, again, you'll feel really proud of yourself. When you come home, you're like, I did that.
Yeah.
I did that. Me by myself.
Because sometimes you get really like lost in a relationship, don't you? And that, and you sort of lose yourself and who you are, and you sort of, you know, sometimes you get in a relationship and you sort of like morph into the other person and like kind of forget what you like and what you enjoyed and your sort of like views and opinions. Like, I used to do that all the time when I was younger with boyfriends.
Which I think is why breakups are so much harder, because when you've morphed into one and you really don't know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's scary. Like, losing that person is probably not the scary part, because that person was probably quite toxic and not good for you. But then having to like look in the mirror and figure out who you are by yourself.
And it's like, getting into routine again. Like, your routine was being with this person every day. Now you've got to be on your own. You've got to do your own thing. I remember when I went through a breakup, I'd get up and I'd feel like crap, but I'd do my hair, I'd do my makeup, and I'd instantly feel so much better.
Yeah.
I'd go shopping. I'd look at like just
browse through the shop.
Window shopping fan.
Yeah.
Go and people shop. Go and people watch. Go and sit in a cafe and order a hot chocolate with marshmallows and the most calorific thing that you could possibly have.
Yeah.
And sit down and drink it and people watch and just watch the world go by. Like, self-care really is the best way to get over somebody.
Yeah,
and time.
Isn't it, they say, like, as soon as a girl changes her hairstyle, that is it. You know, the breakup.
Oh,
that's the breakup when you change your hair.
Well, you say that when me and George were together years ago and he broke up with me and really broke my heart. And I cut all my hair off and dyed it brown.
Yeah.
I had really long blonde hair.
I remember that.
But that wasn't my, like, that was my cry for help, I think. That was my, he'd just broken up with me and I wanted to, you know, like, I wanted to change myself because I was like, clearly it wasn't good enough, whatever I was, like, and I just wanted to do something dramatic. I probably did it so that he'd see it and contact me and be like, you know, one of those desperate attempts. I don't know, but
it's all a combination, though. That's the thing. You probably did it for all those reasons. Like, it was a cry for help. You wanted a fresh start. You wanted to shed that life, but you didn't want to get rid of it. You wanted him to see it. You wanted him to comment. You wanted to be good enough, but you wanted to be strong and independent and look fierce with this new... It's all of those things. And all of that's okay. And it is a transition period of moving and growing. And, you know, I think to be lucky enough to live long enough to have your heart broken is a real privilege.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about, like, Ashley Kane and, you know, the struggles that they've been through. Like, if you get to the stage where you've gone through it and you've got out the other side, like, that's a real privilege, because not only will you have thicker skin, not only will you feel good about yourself, but you'll then be able to empower your friends. And like you said, you sat there and was like, I know it feels like this is the worst than everyone else, but it's not.
Yeah.
And you can only do that through wisdom of knowing that it isn't, because you've been through it.
Yeah.
So the more...
Oh, I'm glad I've had my heart broken. Yeah. I always say that, like, you appreciate love more, like, because you know how awful it feels on the other end of it. So,
and then you also think to yourself, like, I'll never go through that again. When you go through heartbreak again, you won't put yourself in that situation. You won't sit inside for 2 weeks and not go out and see anyone. You have a completely different mindset to it,
because you'll have built better coping mechanisms. So if it happened again, you'll be just as heartbroken, but you'll have a better range of skills to be able to cope better.
Yeah.
So you won't have to sit there for 2 weeks in the dark by yourself crying, because you'll know that it will go away, it will be better, and that, yes, it hurts right now, but hopefully in 2-3 weeks' time, things will start to get less and you'll start to be able to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a nice note to end it on. We want to hear lastly about your book. Oh. So you wrote a book in lockdown, is that correct?
What's
it called? Tell us all about it.
It's 101 Tips for Dating After a Pandemic. So very apt.
Yeah.
I just was getting, as we were coming out of the last lockdown, I was getting so many messages.
Is your Instagram inundated with, like, people just
all
asking you questions?
Yeah, I need advice. You know, I had the other day that this woman, you know, she was a policewoman and she was, like, in love with her co-policeman. And she was like, what do I do? And I just talked her through it and was like, you know what, she was like, we just matched on an app. And so I feel like, you know, that could be it. And I was like, well, you know, you've matched. Why don't you make a joke and be like, well, now we've matched on the app. You know, that the rules of the app say that you have to take me out on a date. Like, that's the law. And then see what he replies.
Yeah, because that's quite, like, a jokey, lighthearted.
Yeah. And so she did. And then he came back with a very platonic reply.
Oh. And then
And she was like, thank God, because we're about to spend the day together on a training course. And she was like, I couldn't have spent the day wondering. Now I know. And it's just, you know, it's things like that it's so easy, but I get a lot of it. So I thought, why not just put the answers to a lot of the main questions in a book?
Yeah.
So it covers literally everything from, like, do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? Social distancing? How do you feel about, like, you know, I'm old school as well. I think the man should ask the woman out. I think the man should pay on a first date in heterosexual couples. In non-heterosexual couples, I think it's whoever asks pays for the date. But I think that one person should pay for the date.
Yeah.
I don't believe in splitting.
Oh, no,
yeah, double Dutch.
I always say this. If someone turned around to me and was like, do you want to split? I'd be like, I will just pay the bill.
Yeah.
Every single time. I'll pay the bill and delete my number.
Yeah. I mean, I worked in a restaurant as a waitress and I used to get people going double Dutch. And I used to think,
what's the point?
I have sat in restaurants and I have honestly seen people with calculators on a day. And I have huffed and puffed, literally, with my friends. And I'm like, I've got to say something. And there's been so many times when I remember one instance, a woman well, they were on a date and she was arguing because she was like, no, I want to spin it. And I literally was like, hun, let him pay for you. Yeah. For the love of God, let him treat you. This is romantic, please. And she was like, okay. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I can't listen to them any longer. It's just the fakeness of it. It's more like, I'd like to pay my part.
Yeah. Shut up. I don't think I ever even said that.
No,
I always offer.
I'm like, oh, do you want me to put any money in? Thinking like, I'm not actually going to put money in. But
yeah, I don't even have my purse on me.
I feel like I need to be polite.
Yeah. Literally don't bring my purse.
And people say that, oh, at least they offer. But it's a fake offer. I'd rather not be fake. Yeah, I'd rather not be fake and just not offer. Because if you're taking me on a date, hun, you're paying for the date.
Yeah, on a first date, like, I just think it's just my dad would never let a woman pay on a first date. So I would like to think that, and you don't have to take me anywhere really exciting. No. We can grab a bagel and walk around the park, like whatever it may be. But you should pay.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 5-star tasting menu with wine. It can be whatever's within your budget. Just, I mean, I'm a big believer in local restaurants that are family run. I think they're the most romantic.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Like a small little restaurant. Oh, this leads us, basically, at the end of each week, we talk about
what restaurant we've been to.
We like going out. We like eating out. We like trying food, like, we just like eating, basically. So we thought that at the end of each week, we always give like a little restaurant tip, like somewhere we might have been that week, or just, what's your favourite restaurant? Do you have a favourite restaurant, or?
I mean, all of them.
Yeah, anywhere I can eat.
I do go to, though, there's a restaurant in Fulham Broadway called El Metro.
Okay.
And it is that exact, like, family. I think it's tapas, and they're...
Love that.
Yeah, and they have, like, live music, and then, like, the main guy is, like, he's the guy that does it all. So he's in and out the kitchen, he's the waiter, he's the barman, he's, you know, shouting at
the
kitchen.
Like a one-bam man.
I love that.
And it's just a real... When you go in, it's no bells and whistles, but it's... So you feel at home... You feel comfortable and at home straight away, and it's kind of, you feel part of the family as soon as you walk in, because it is just like, there's plates everywhere, there's noise, there's, you know, people with guitars playing, and it's just a really, you don't get that with...
It's like a little gem of a place, you like find them very rarely. I love stuff like that, like, and small restaurants.
Literally opposite the station, it's been there for years, and it's just a really, if people say, oh, where do you want to go eat? I'm like, yeah, I love places like that, because it's just... especially as well with a child, it's like I can't go to fancy restaurants anymore.
No. Yeah, it's so hard.
It's like, there's just no way that I could take him to a fancy restaurant and it'd be acceptable at this age.
Yeah.
So
he wants to be wandering around and discovering things.
And he needs to be around people that aren't gonna be like, ew, get that child away from me. Like, he needs to be around, like, you know, people that are like, hey, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of crowd. Yeah. So, yeah, I've had to kind of put that, knock the fancy restaurants on the head.
Yeah. For now. They'll come back. Just on pause.
Yeah, exactly. Saving me a load of money.
So, yeah.
Eat cheap, but I'm eating well.
Yeah. It is true. That was, well, that's a perfect one. We can add that to the repertoire. We'll try it.
We have to try it.
The master's amazing.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. You have been amazing. And I hope that Nadia's answered some of your questions.
And I hope you've all got pointers and advice from this chat. So thank you.
Thank you very much.